Hello and welcome to this Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, Editorial Director of the News. Today we sit down with Matt McKinney, who's the Regional Account Manager for Refrigerants for Chemours. I hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, now we're going to talk a little bit about drop-in replacements for R22 and welcome in Matt McKinney, who's the Chemours Regional Account Manager for Refrigerants. Thanks for joining us today, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Absolutely. How would you describe what a true drop-in replacement refrigerant is?
Sure. Having been around refrigerants for about 5 years now and working with them, I know one thing that was quickly taught onto me and something I pass along to all the contractors and wholesalers I work with is I like to avoid that word drop-in, which has been really a very convenient word in the past, going back to like the R12 replacements, to talk about these refrigerants. But when it comes to the R22 drop-in refrigerants, we refer to them as direct replacements. The reason we do that is the word drop-in has kind of been misconstrued over the years, and technicians think when they hear the word drop-in that they're allowed to mix that refrigerant directly with R22, which is not the case. And that is according to all of us that make refrigerant, all the industry and the engineering experts out there when it comes to getting a system to work around a particular refrigerant. When you mix that refrigerant with a different component, like R22, you are then throwing off the blend, you're throwing off the pressure-temperature relation, and you can't properly use that refrigerant. It also has problems when it comes to reclaiming that refrigerant, which is very important for the future of R22 supply in this country, which is here just in another year going to be solely sourced from reclaim. When you mix refrigerant with R22, you make it more costly to reclaim and separate those components out. So when it comes to the word drop-in, we like to refer to them as R22 direct replacements or R22 substitutes. And then back to answering your question, though, you know, what makes it a feasible R22 replacement? A feasible R22 replacement for replacing R22 in existing systems, it needs to be obviously proprietarily designed around replacing R22. You want it to have oil compatibility, so you're not out there draining compressors all day long trying to get these R22 alternatives to work. And you want field-proven and lab-proven results and performance, which is, of course, very critical beyond that. And then on the other side that gets missed a lot is you want a steady and reliable supply from a bona fide source, because we've seen in the lately, you know, other refrigerants trying to pop up as R22 replacements, but they just cannot keep up with this, even just the sheer demand, and then supporting the product, which comes down to training contractors.
Is there an R22 replacement that will work effectively in every R22 application?
No, and the reason being is there's a myriad of different types of R22 systems. You have systems based around temperature. You know, you've got your high temp air conditioning systems, you got your medium temp coolers, you got freezers. So R22 was an excellent refrigerant in that regard, to where it can be used in several systems. The other problem is R22 being a single component refrigerant and not being a blend, you could use it in systems, flooded systems, without an expansion device. Well, when you make an R22 replacement refrigerant, those are all blends made of multiple refrigerant components. So many of them are not suitable for use in systems that don't have expansion devices. So when it comes to the mainstream R22 alternatives, they are best used in systems that have an expansion device that can help modulate that blended refrigerant through the system.
Okay. Now, do R22 direct replacement refrigerants have a lower capacity ratings compared to R22?
Yes. All of the known R22 replacements have a slightly lower capacity versus R22. Now, that variable of information can be looked at over a spectrum, whether you're looking at air conditioning equipment using the same refrigerant in medium temp and then using that same R22 replacement in low temp. So to help make sure that you have good performance of an R22 alternative covering your low temp, your medium temp, and your high temp refrigerant, we usually make two blends. So we make an R22 replacement to cover medium temp to high temp, and then we kind of have a crossover. You make a similar blend, but it's geared more towards the low temp, and that helps alleviate that capacity difference. And there's some other metrics we use, like mass flow rate and whatnot, but you want to make sure you design that refrigerant to work in each one of those segments. So say for, you know, your mainstream contractor using these R22 replacements in air conditioning, I mean, they can expect anywhere from 5, 6, 7% capacity difference over R22 in air conditioning. Now, there's other factors that technicians need to consider before using one of the replacements. And one is, what's the condition of the equipment? If that equipment is really beat up, you know, the fins and the condenser fins are in terrible shape, if the coil isn't cleaned, make sure that system has been given its due diligence and don't just rely on the refrigerant to do all the work. So, but again, after having, for example, new 22B out for 17 years, we know that if you have a system that's in good shape, you've cleaned it, regardless of the age, you can get really good performance out of it for a long time with these R22 replacements. And we've proven that for, again, over 15 years with these on the capacity side.
What type of field performance records do the R22 replacements have?
So for R22 replacements, you know, in particular to say the new 22B, which I-Corps came out with over 17 years ago, when it comes to using these in the field, we know that they will perform even in the U.S.'s hottest climate areas down in, you know, South Texas, Florida, the sunshine states down in the Southwest. Given that you do the field conversion appropriately, which means using proper charging procedures, evacuating the system, cleaning it, changing out your dryers, using superheat and subcool to properly charge a system. If a technician does all that, then yes, you can get an acceptable amount of capacity out of these systems. And when you run up against, if the system does have to run longer to adjust for any capacity drop more than, you know, 5%, let's say, that system with that slightly longer runtime, it's not enough extra runtime to hurt the system, and it actually helps with dehumidification of a system. So, I mean, even after just a few years I've been doing this, the feedback you get from these areas of, hey, this thing's cooling well, and some people even say it's cooling better, when we know it's not, but it's just because they took really good care of that system and they properly charged it. And we know out there, and you can read about overcharged systems. So once these people go out and do a proper charge on them, you can get effective cooling performance out of it with an alternative.
If the R22 compressor is charged with mineral oil, will it need to be changed to the POE oil?
No, not necessarily. When we came out with these R22 replacements years ago, we knew that just like we had done with our R12 replacements, that technicians want them to be compatible with both the compressor's existing oil, which at R22 is typically mineral oil on the older systems, and you want it to work with the newer polyester lubricants, which is what all the new compressors come out with. So to make that happen with new 22B and MO99, we have added a hydrocarbon additive to those blends, which is anywhere between, I know in MO99 it's like 2.7%, and new 22B it's 3% of a hydrocarbon additive. That generates that miscibility with mineral oil, so a guy does not have to go out and change it to a different type of oil to get this to work, unlike refrigerants like 407C, where it has to have the polyester lubricant for it to work properly.
Okay. Now, you mentioned 407C. Is that considered a direct replacement for R22?
Not in existing systems with mineral oil. You know, 407C has been around a long time. It's been out since, the early to mid-90s. But 407C, just like 410A, it's what we call a pure hydrofluorocarbon. It does not have any component in it that makes it miscible with mineral oil. So if you notice, ever since 410A came out, and ever since we've seen the 407C units, 100% of the time, they're going to have that polyester lubricant. The problem, though, is technicians are not being told that. There's a lot of misinformation regarding refrigerants like 407C, and there's even some other R22 alternatives that don't have hydrocarbons. And guys are not getting the proper education on the difference between these pure HFCs and refrigerants that have a hydrocarbon, and that's what's going to kill the compressor. When these guys are not looking to see what oil is in it, have they changed the oil, and there's even instances when not changing the oil will damage the system even faster. For example, that would be like systems with very long line sets, systems with vertical line sets. We see that with apartments all the time where we see compressor failures with 407C. So, no, 407C is not a direct replacement in R22 in existing systems unless you change it to polyester oil. And okay, Hopefully they know how to do that properly.
Right. All right, just to tie a bow on this a little bit for our contractor listeners here, can you kind of give us maybe a good checklist for selecting an R22 replacement?
Sure. There's a lot of choices out there now, but there's very few that meet the good criteria of, is that refrigerant on the EPA's SNAP list? And if the guys don't know what the SNAP list is, that is where all the approved refrigerants in the United States are listed. So your R22 replacement you pick, first step, always make sure it's on the SNAP list. That's going to ensure that it's gone through testing, that it's non-toxic and non-flammable. Same thing with it having an ASHRAE number. If they don't know what an ASHRAE number is, that's the R number you put onto a refrigerant, like 410A, 407C. For new 22B, for example, our R number is 422B. To earn that R number, that means you have met that criteria of being a, you know, a, like I said, a bona fide refrigerant. You know, you've made sure that you're safe, you're reliable, and you meet these high standards set out there for refrigerant. The next thing you want to do after you've kind of met that safety and government criteria, you want to make sure the refrigerant works. And a way to do that is look what's out there and look what's been out there a long time. I know here at Chemours, you know, we now have new 22B and MO99. I mean, combined, they've been out for all well over a decade, hundreds of thousands of systems conversion. So when guys are looking at questions like, oh, capacity or mass flow rate, it's like, well, those are good things to check, but we have answered them, you know, through this extensive field use and field use in the hottest climates that we have over many summers. And you also want to make sure it's reliably sourced. We have hundreds of distributors across the U.S., thousands of stocking locations, and that really helps to make sure that when a technician, especially large companies or, you know, think of like commercial managers over several states, when they go to pick an R22 replacement, that it's available across their entire network of equipment. And we've been able to set up that distribution over the past decade and now have a reliable source throughout the U.S.
All right, sounds good. Well, Matt, I really appreciate you kind of shedding some light on this and educating us on this topic.
No problem. Thanks for having me.